Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we begin this worship service to praise you and give you your glory, Lord, I just ask that you give a special blessing on this congregation. Lord, come into our hearts and let us leave with a deeper relationship with you than the one that we came in with. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
My home is over. Good morning. I'd like to offer you a warm welcome to Piedmont Park Church. Did you notice today that you didn't have to have a lap robe or your coat as you sit here and worship in the sanctuary because the heat has been hooked up now for a few weeks and we have been enjoying heat rising from the registers of the sanctuary? That's really nice. Do you know that heat is part of church expense? And that if you enjoy heat, it would be good if you could help fund church expense. If you look in the bulletin, we are $8,000 behind, I think in part because our numbers are down. So when you see people, remind them they'll get a warm welcome at Piedmont. No reason for them to stay away. And please thoughtfully think about church expense. And if there's something in church expense that you don't support, you can still write heat on your envelope, and it will pay for the heat. Evelyn will take that money and just put it in the gas account. I thank you all and hope that you remember this. And let's pray, please. Dear Lord, thank you for the sunshine today. Thank you for the beautiful, beautiful fall that we are having, for all the colors that cheer us up when things are not going very well. Be with each one of us today and help us to have a Sabbath blessing. We ask these things in thy name. Amen. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. Welcome to Piedmont Park Church this Sabbath. It's amazing, isn't it? What a beautiful noise 18 people can make. Thank you very much for bringing us that song there, which I know to a slightly different tune. So that was new to me. So yes, welcome to Piedmont Park Seventh-day Adventist Church / construction site. We're glad that you're here. Thank you for being here, and we welcome you. Warmly with the heat. Just to remind you that the clocks go back tonight 1 hour, so make sure you set your alarm for 2 o'clock at night. Get up and set your clocks back 1 hour, or you can do that before you go to bed, or if you're up later than that, maybe after that. Two quick announcements before we give a little bit of a report on why we have balloons here, and it looks like one got away up there if you're very observant. First announcement this afternoon is the Piedmont Peddlers. I don't know how many more Sabbath afternoon rides they can get in before the weather really does them in, but it looks like it's a beautiful day and the temperature's rising outside. So this afternoon at 4 o'clock, if you look on page 5 of your bulletin, you'll see that the Piedmont Peddlers, our cycling group, are going to ride a very picturesque steamboat trace trail. I had to say that slowly. Steamboat trace trail this afternoon at 4 o'clock. I think they're meeting at the trailhead in Peru, Nebraska. So if you bring your bike, bring your helmet, and maybe bring a hot drink this afternoon rather than a bottle of water, we'll see. Also, if you look on page 6 in your bulletin, there is soup suppers starting this evening. Bring an instrument, bring some hot soup, bring a singing voice, and join in a soup, supper, and guitar vespers tonight at 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Well, next is Light Up the Dark. So I think Jeanette is going to be the first one to come up. But before she comes up to say her thanks, I'd like to thank her. I'd like to thank her for all of her untiring effort these last few weeks in organizing us all and putting this on together for the fourth year.
Thank you. And I wouldn't be able to do this without everyone else's help. We had lots and lots of help last night, and I wish I could thank each person individually, send you a card, send you whatever, but know that from my heart, I thank each and every one of you. We had a very successful evening this year. It was very organized. It seemed like it ran really well this year. I don't know if that's because Pastor Michael wasn't here, but it could be. We had 650 people sign the cards as they came through, and the majority of those were not Adventists. And so we had a wonderful, wonderful turnout. I have tons of stories from last night, but I don't like to be up here, and we don't have time. So we have a couple other people who do have wonderful stories.
I helped with the children's prayer walk, and that was right here. And the children would come in through the door. There was a puppet show back there, which they loved. I'll have you know, they love that puppet show. Then they'd come up here. We sat at a table, and we had a card, and there was questions on the card. It would say, God, I praise you for, and then what I really did is say, what are you happy for? And then I would write it down that card for them. And so many of them said, I'm happy because he loves me. And I'm happy for a good life, and of course, candy. And the next one was, God, I thank you for. And I'd say, just what are you thankful for? And most of them said, Mommy and Daddy. And a great family, sister, brother, cousins, and for Jesus loving me. And then the next one was, God, I want to tell you. And most of them said, I love you. They wanted to tell Jesus they loved him. And then the last little prayer thing was, God, I ask you for, well, this got a little exciting. A lot of them were video games, pets, toys. And then I kind of encouraged, how about a safe night? And also for the thank you, I said the sunshine, that we had sunshine that day. And then after they did this, they put a sticker on their card. And then they would see those high balloons up there? Well, we had them down here, of course. And so after they filled out their card, they could go over to those balloons, and they could pull the string down and pull that balloon all the way down. And on that balloon it says, with God all things are possible. And we'd read that to them and explain that Jesus can do anything for them. And then I'd say, okay, now let it go and see if it goes back up. And, of course, it went right back up. And they loved that. So it was very good. I got lots of different answers. The kids were so cute, and they just loved it all. So thanks all for all your help.
Well, I have to say, I was driving by, and I was not actually on my way home yet. I had a doctor's appointment. But as I was driving by, I see the parking lot completely filled. And then I see all these cars across the street. And I see all these people on our property and all these people trying to come across the street. And I'm thinking, wow, this is great. Because you know what? There's a lot of Seventh-day Adventists who are here. And so then I'm sorry, I'm a big kid. I'm just a big kid. And so I have to go through everything. I have to see everything. That's who I am. So as I'm going through, I was very impressed. There was a lot of work that went into this, unbelievable amount of work. But there was one, and I have to tell you about just one. As I go into one of the classrooms, first thing I step in, and it's dark. It's dark. And you know, that for most of the world, that's what Halloween's about. But then there's these lights running down that you're to walk between. And what do you see at the end? Lighted with black lights, an angel in white, illuminated with black lights. And you know what black lights do to white? It was just awesome. So then you go over there, and they direct you around the corner, and there's another angel highlighted in black lights, and they're in white, telling the story of Jesus. And I have to tell you, it brought tears to my eyes just hearing it. And I'm thinking, all of these kids coming through, instead of what they normally would hear, what are they hearing about Jesus? And you know, there was one, there's one little youngster, and I'm going to tell you by the costume, I don't know if it was male or female, it was a hideous mask, and I'm thinking, this is awesome, because this little kid's coming here dressed thinking they're going to get something else, and they're going to get the story of Jesus. What a great thing to have happen. First time I've stopped by, I was so impressed. I'm going to end with just one word, wow!
Our song of praise this morning is Give Thanks. Let's stand while we sing this song.
Yeah.
you are able, I'd like to invite you to kneel for prayer.
Our dear Lord, we are thankful for each and every person that is here today. We pray that your presence will be felt in every heart and every head as we go through this worship service. We pray also for those that are not here today, who are discouraged or ill or doubting. We pray that they too will feel your presence in their lives and want to return and worship with us once again. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord. We have not kept your word. We have not loved you with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength. And we have not loved our neighbor as we should. We just pray that you will forgive us and help us to be better Christians, that we will show our love and our faith through our actions. We all here have challenges in our lives, but we also have joys, and we offer both of them up to you today, and we ask that you grant your peace in our lives as we go through this week. We pray that you will be with our pastors. Watch over Pastor Michael as he travels. We pray that you will bring him safely back to us. Please watch over them, each and every one, and their families. We pray that you will guide them and help them, and that your spirit will lead them as they minister to us. And we pray that we too will minister to them, and that we will be a congregation that lifts them up and helps them in their ministry. We ask now, as we hear the words from Seth, that you will inspire him, and that each and every one of us will hear your word and know that you want us to be with you forever. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Galatians 6:14.
Well, happy Sabbath, church. Good morning, and it's such a blessing to be here today. And God is good, isn't he? Well, if you didn't have the opportunity or the chance to come out or be a part of the Light Up the Dark last night, I think you really missed out on something special. It's just amazing how so many people that, you know, we don't recognize or we don't reach out in any other way come to this celebration and this ministry to learn about Jesus, and especially on a day that most of the world has given to Satan. And you know, what an opportunity and what an amazing blessing it is to take something that is intended for the completely different thing, something even intended for evil, and we can use that as an opportunity to minister to those and share Jesus with the people that never would have a chance. And that's just such an awesome thing, how God can always turn things around, even when they appear bleak and bad, and can turn it for good. So that's actually what we're going to be talking about today. But before we begin, let's go ahead and have another word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for being in our presence today. Lord, thank you for coming and dwelling among us. Lord, as we try and hear a message from you. I just ask that you forgive us of our sins, cleanse us and empty us of ourselves. And Lord, please fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, as we hear a message from you, I just pray that our ears are tuned to hear your word. Lord, please tailor make this message especially for each and every one of us. And Lord, I just ask that you be with my mouth and help me to speak the words that you would like me to speak. Lord, thank you for this opportunity and for always being there for us. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Time and time again it happened. It seemed as though the harder I tried to get out of it, the more stuck in it I became. And no, I'm not talking about quicksand, but it sure felt like I was in it. I'm talking about sin. Has this ever happened to you where it seemed like you tried over and over to get out and it just has a hold on you? Well, this was the case for me, and in my case, I felt like my relationship with God could be so much better, could be so much deeper. We would just have a stronger connection if just this one sin maybe could just get out of my life. If only I could get rid of this one, everything could be all right. Well, sophomore year in college, I began to feel a call to do mission work for a year. And I started to feel like taking a year off and doing that. And at first, I resisted it. You know, I thought of every excuse possible not to go. Some of the excuses were kind of ridiculous. I thought, well, all my friends are my classmates, and I'm going to fall behind, and who am I going to do my homework with? And I thought, oh, man, well, what about my relationships? You know, they're going to be broken, and I'm going to lose all those. Or, you know, what about the basketball team? And I want to play next year, and the people I want to play with won't be here when I'm back. And I just thought of all these crazy excuses. But the idea of it would not go away. And so after it was pretty much a done deal and everything was lined up and ready to go, I started to realize, man, this is an awesome opportunity. This is perfect. Perhaps I couldn't get away from my sin, or perhaps I couldn't move on because it was my location. You know, maybe it was the environment that I was in or the people I was around. Maybe if I go away, I can get away from my problems, I can change, and then when I come back, I would have overcome them. Unfortunately, running away is not the same as overcoming. And while I had a great and awesome experience with God, and I really grew closer in that year, location is not the solution. It kind of reminds me of my dad and one of his experiences, and for those who don't know, my dad used to chew tobacco and was addicted to that. And he had tried to quit over and over again. And he had tried all kinds of sorts of things, and he kept going back to it. And finally, he decided to go on a hiking trip for an extended weekend. And as he went up into the mountains and experienced the fresh air and the trees, all of a sudden, the addiction wasn't there anymore. He thought, wow, man, I've overcome this. It's no longer a temptation. It's not a problem for me anymore. And after those few days went away and they came hiking back down, the closer and closer he got to civilization, the more that temptation started to come back. And, oh, man, it's not really gone. And actually the first stop he made after that was to the store to pick up some chew. Well, too many times we want so badly to overcome and change, and we try and do it by ourselves. We can easily forget who is in control of it all. If you could turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start from the very beginning today. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Can you imagine what that must have been like on that very first day? There's nothing but darkness, and God speaks, and there's light. Well, evening and morning, the first day. And you can follow along with me. I'm just going to give a brief summary of the week of creation. Well, then God decided that, you know, there needed to be an expanse in the waters. There needed to be a firmament. So he separated the waters and evening and morning the second day. And then God decided that there needed to be land also. So he collected the water into pools and land sprung up. And then grass and vegetation and fruit appeared on the land evening and morning the third day. Then God decided that there needed to be something that gave off light and heat to the earth. And so God created the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. And he created all the stars. It's amazing that the sun, that big ball of fire that we can't even get close to, God spoke and it became. The God we serve is a giant star breather. I think that's amazing. Well, that was evening and morning, the fourth day. The earth was empty, though, and God decided to create all the sea creatures. And so he filled the water with fish, and the air was empty, so he filled the air with birds, evening and morning, the fifth day. And then God put land creatures on the land, and he got down, and he decided not to speak us into existence, but to get down in the dirt and form man. And out of man came woman. In verse 31, it concludes, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and morning were the sixth day. But so what, right? I mean, I already knew that. Well, I don't know about you, but for me, I need to read that over and over in my walk with Christ. And not because I'm forgetful and I forget what happens on each day, but because I tend to forget who is in control. God is in control of everything. An interesting thing about creation is that God didn't need something to create something. See, when we want to create something, we have to take something. If we want to build a doghouse, we have to take lumber and nails and nail them together. But when God wants to create something, he can do it out of nothing. He simply spoke, and nothing became something. And how often do we think that we have to do something to help God do his work for our situation? God just asks us to serve him wherever we are, whatever may be our lot, and he will control the rest. I don't know if you caught that, but I'll say it again. God just asks us to serve him wherever we are, whatever may be our lot, and he will control the rest. If ever it might bring him glory, he can always turn your situation around from nothing to something. So what's happened? I mean, he can create good out of nothing, but what of this life? I mean, all over there's pain and suffering and loss. All over it's filled with that. And how could the result of sin or death actually bring glory to God? Is that even possible? Well, the Romans, they were very powerful and they were also very deadly, and usually that goes hand in hand when it comes to world powers. The Romans developed an instrument that would not only kill people, but would do so in the most painful way that they knew how. They called it crucifixion, and they would nail people up to a cross. It was so much more than just an instrument of death, however, it also served the purpose of giving a message. See, ever since the cross was invented, it gave a message to people. The people who were crucified were done publicly, and a lot of times they were left to hang there even after they died. This helped convince people not to do certain heinous crimes against Rome or to scare people away. But on top of that, it was a completely humiliating experience. You know, to hang there naked and completely vulnerable, anyone or anything could do whatever they wanted to you, and it was completely humiliating for you and your family. Marcus Tullius Cicero said this about crucifixion. It is a most cruel and disgusting punishment, and the very mention of the cross should be far removed, not only from a Roman citizen's body, but from his mind, his ears, and his eyes. Surely something this terrible, nothing could come of it, right? I mean, something so disastrous and meant for fear and darkness, nothing good could come of that, right? Well, I'm so thankful that we haven't taken Cicero's advice, because Jesus Christ knew from the beginning that that was going to be his sacrifice. And something that was intended for fear and darkness, I mean, we put it in our churches. We have it there. Some people put on their bumper stickers or wear it around their necks, and it's not because of fear and darkness. They don't tremble when they look at the cross, but they see love and they see light. We see love unfolded for all humanity on that cross. The message of the cross was so changed that the Apostle Paul said in our scripture reading this morning, Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." I mean, how different a message after Jesus than before Jesus. Completely different message and different thing that people get from the cross. They're no longer afraid and terrified and running away, but coming to it, clinging to the foot of the cross, and claiming that love that Jesus gives us. It's amazing to see how God can change even the worst things for his glory. Amen? But what of us? I mean, the cross, that's just an object. And the world, that's just an object. It didn't have a choice. But people, we have a choice, and we can potentially choose a bad choice. So can God really help change our hearts? It's the question we all want to know. When we're struggling with sin, when we're plagued with something in our life, can God really change us to be more like him? Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. Just to give a little backdrop before we start reading, I'll give you a little time to find it. A little history to see what we're dealing with here. The Assyrian Empire, which Nineveh was a part of, at its greatest under Ashurbanipal, reached from Egypt to southeastern Turkey to Iran, including all the fertile river valleys of the Nile, the Jordan, and the Tigris and Euphrates. This was the largest empire yet seen in the world, and they got there using a new military weapon, terror. The army was notorious for its brutality, and the Assyrians themselves made sure their enemies knew about their reputation. Their powerful bows, their battering rams, and their archers on horseback were also effective, but mutilation of prisoners, resettlements of whole populations, and a general rejoicing in butchery were what their victims told others about. They were known for skinning people alive and all other sorts of terrible things. I think you get the picture. These were not nice people. In fact, they wanted everyone to know about their bad deeds, and they wanted to use that to scare people. It said they even rejoiced in what they were doing. These weren't people you'd let your kids hang around. Their object was to be so harsh and brutal that their enemies wouldn't even dare risk fighting them in case they lost. They knew what the penalty would be. And how far from the character of God were they? Completely overtaken by evil. And most would declare, I think I would too if I was around at that time, that they're completely lost and unfit for mercy. There's no hope for these people. God should just wipe them out, right? Well, Jonah chapter 3, I'm going to read in verse 3 through 5. Jonah chapter 3. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And if I was there, I would imagine Nineveh would probably do with Jonah what they've done with all the other people. Take him and torture him and do whatever they wanted to him. But in verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. And jumping down to verse 10, then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Man, can God change our hearts or what? And how often are we tempted to limit God? I mean, he can change the world, and he can change our circumstances, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know just how far away from home I've been. I mean, Maybe it's possible that I've strayed beyond mercy's outstretched hand. And maybe his grace no longer hears my cry. Well, friends and church family, he'll do whatever it takes to save us. There's no sin that plagues your life that God can't help you overcome, that God can't turn around. His grace reaches lower than our worst mistake. He longs to change our heart. And God has done some amazing things in life, and he has turned some amazing things around, but the greatest turnaround that God will ever make is the one in your own heart. What Christ asks us in return is so little. In Matthew 11:29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Just surrender your will to me. Give up and let me do it for you." If we surrender our will to his, he can transform our hearts. Have you done that this morning? I mean, today, this Sabbath, have you surrendered your will to him? In 1 Corinthians 15:31, it says, "I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily." Paul here isn't dying monthly, he isn't dying yearly, but he dies daily, surrendering his will to Christ. Have you done that this morning? I mean, maybe you've surrendered your will to him last year, or maybe last week, but have you done that today? Today is what matters. I tried for so long to overcome my sin on my own. I mean, I tried everything. I tried resisting. I tried fighting it. I tried asking for friends' advice. I even tried going halfway around the world to escape it. And I was about as successful as a newborn baby walking on ice. Not at all. It wasn't until I quit struggling to do it on my own and I let him turn me around, surrendered my will to his and started to go in the direction as he led me by the hand, that I started to overcome the things in my life. What a joy that he gives us another chance every day, amen? Another chance, another shot every single day to grow closer in our walk with him. Until that day when we can be with him forever and ever and ever. What a joy that God can take the darkness in our life and transform it into light. What a joy that God can take the bad things in your heart and use them for his glory. As we're reminded of this joy, can we all stand and sing our closing song? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much that you can turn around any situation. Thank you so much that you can even turn our hearts around for you. Lord, as we go out from here, please remind us that you are in control of our lives. Lord, please remind us to surrender our will to you every day. In Jesus' name, amen.